Welcome to an action-packed edition of ARG Presents. I'm your boy, Amigo Aaron, joined by a man who ironically we refer to as the Mega Schmuck. I give you the Brent.
I prefer Cougar Schmuck, thank you.
See, that clearly you missed the joke there, my friend. Mega Schmuck. Never mind.
Yeah, so I want to be called the Cougar Schmuck.
Listen, I'm not calling you Cougar anything, pal.
Oh.
If you missed last week's, and what an episode that was, Brent, we spun the wheel. We made the exciting deal, the interesting deal, the brain-bending deal. And Brent, this week, in another turn of your moronic picks, we'll be playing games on the Mega Duck slash Cougar Boy, Brent.
Yes.
The Mega Duck slash Cougar Boy. This is far and away the stupidest named episode we've ever ventured into, my friend. What do you know?
It's up there.
What did you know, I should say, about the Mega Duck slash Cougar Boy?
This one I was actually somewhat versed in.
You're kidding me.
I knew where they were released. I knew who made them. I'd seen them before, and I was ready to do this. I've been ready to do it for a while. I was kind of pumped to get in there to see what the Mega Duck slash Cougar Boy could give us.
I was not pumped because those names don't instill confidence in me. I've never played on a duck based console, I'd say, or cougar based for that matter. So there you go. Now, from what I can find, the more predominant of the two is the Mega Duck, but the Cougar Boy is out there, and these are simply effectively, they're different names on the different plastics of the same thing.
So exact same everything. Henceforth, yeah.
We'll refer to them as the Mega Duck and Cougar Boy interchangeably, so don't be surprised. So, Brent, I know you're stud here. I'm going to look up some facts. I had to educate myself on the nature of the Mega Duck slash Cougar Boy. You may be stunned to hear this, Brent, but these come from the Far East.
Yeah. Yes.
Manufactured by an outfit called Wellback Holdings. Released in August 27th of 93, simultaneously in Europe and Brazil. Now, in Europe, you got your Mega Duck. In Brazil, this was distributed by Cougar USA, ironically.
That's right.
And so they changed the name down there to Cougar Boy. So there's where you get your two names. All right. So,
well, do you know why Mega Duck is called Mega Duck?
No, please. Well, why is it called Mega Duck?
It is a play off of Wonder Swan.
You're kidding me.
No. And, of course, Cougar Boy is a play off of Game Boy.
So that's, you had a Wonder Swan. A swan's a beautiful creature, full of wonder. So they went with Mega Duck?
That's correct.
I love that. That's the best thing I've ever heard. So I tried to find out what these things sold for. Right, so I found this, and I found the introductory price, but it was in the money of the Netherlands. I think they have florins at the time. It's 129 florins. I did some basic math, you know.
They were $4.3 million.
From what I could come up with, 129 Netherlands florins. I think those are FL. I think that's I think they don't even use that money anymore. But they use it in 93. That translates to 70 U.S. buckery dues, which is about $127 today. So that seems probably about right. You know, one would guess $70 for a handheld. So this thing had a Intel 8080 CPU running at 4.19 megahertz.
Yep.
16K of memory, Brent. Plenty of memory for your Mega Duck uses.
Oh, yeah, because you got the cards.
That's right. You also had graphics that took up 160 by 144 pixels, a built-in speaker. Now, we're gonna get into the details of this, but I'm going to tell you right now, having looked at one of these Mega Ducks slash Cougar Boys, the screens were forged in the depths of Hades, Brent. Yeah. These things are no good.
Yeah, the speakers were
forged two doors down.
Yeah.
Also horrible.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. This thing had, for your controls, you had these four. I think I saw one guy refer to them as Tic Tacs. I think that's an apt description of what your directional keys look like. You've got an A, a B, a select, and start. And this thing is powered by four AA batteries, or you can get the optional 6-volt AC adapter. So there you go. There were three known variations. There was a black and a white Mega Duck, and then there was also a white Cougar Boy. So you had one white Cougar Boy, you had a black Mega Duck, and a white Mega Duck. I did not see any black Cougar Boys, although you never know how that's going to go. You got some pretty decent game time from what I read, 15 hours on one set of four AA batteries.
I've heard that's incredibly exaggerated.
You're not buying it?
No. I it is probably closer to half that.
I see. Well, anyway, you might be right. I saw a fella take these apart. The Mega Duck has a multi-board design in there. And you've got, which is not, which I looked at, it looked as cheap as you would expect inside there. One thing this does, though, and this is interesting, is that they use some sort of graphical abilities to have, basically, they can use this LCD to have multi-planar displays, Brent.
Yeah.
And they do this. And what they'll use this for is to have sort of like a background scroll that will run behind, you know. And it's not bad, is it?
No, it well, I mean, from what we've seen, obviously we do not own a Mega Boy, so
Mega Duck. How dare you?
I just meshed the two.
No, you're right, and we won't own one, as I'll mention later on. But yeah, these things, it's funny. This is one of those consoles, and I've read that this is very close to the select divisions, like that we covered a while. Was it Watara?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, one of those. It's very similar to that in design. But this is one of those consoles that when you emulate it, it looks great. Really,
yeah.
when you play a real one,
no.
It don't look great.
No.
It don't look great. It looks
very
like,
bad screens.
Yeah,
very bad speakers.
You know, after looking into these, what impressed you and what didn't impress you about these things?
Well, on the emulator, holy crap, the games are incredible. In real life, holy crap, the hardware is absolute trash.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because some of the games that were produced and some of the sound and music that was produced on this thing, incredible. But
it was surprising. The capabilities were there, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you can tell that some people actually tried to make games and make fun games, you know, did good sprite work and good music work, and then the hardware just wasn't there.
It is a shame that the LCD is so crummy that we don't have one. So I watched as many videos as I could of people actually demonstrating the actual hardware. And it was the same on every video. The screen was real muddy, which of course these things are, you know, going on what, 27 years old. The screen was muddy, and the speaker was just El Cheapo Grande. Something tells me you could go in here and modify this thing, and probably have a decent little handheld.
I agree.
You put a more modern screen, which if you can,
of course. You know, if you're going to do that, just RetroPie it. Call it a day.
For what I read, a lot of the games on this. I actually got like Game Boy ports, and some of them actually got ported to actual consoles. You know, so if you're interested in some of these games, you could probably find a pretty good version. And let's face facts here. Let's not try to pull a wool over anyone's eyes. A large percentage of the games on this thing were just ripoffs of other games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in the true fashion of the day, they just basically ripped off stuff. So we both had a look at one of these games here. Brent, I'm going to let you start the show today with your pick here for the Mega Duck / Cougar Boy. What do you got for us?
As I was flipping through, I was playing a bunch of different games, right?
Yeah.
And I would click on a game. I would let it load up. I would maybe play a minute or two or let the demo run if it had one. And when I clicked on my game, Railway, the opening theme was so incredible that I cranked the volume and bothered my wife because I let it run
dangerous.
I'll let it run for at least 10 minutes, just jamming to the tunes.
Yeah.
That old, I don't know, like 30 style tunes. I was just pumped, loved it, absolutely loved it. And I was, before I even played the game, I said, this is what I'm playing because the music on this opening screen is that awesome. And it is. The music in this game is incredible. absolutely incredible. So Railway was cartridge CB019. So it's one of those things where they listed all the games as numbers.
In fact, they actually listed some numbers. They made room for numbers that never got made. So yes. Clearly there was more coming, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was produced, the publisher was Creatonic, and the developer was Sashin, released in 1993. Let's be honest with what we have here. This is a Pipe Dreams, a Pipe Mania game with a railroad theme. And you lay down track, and every board has you getting from point A to point B, and you have to lay down a certain number of tracks as denoted by the level to be able to complete it. So sometimes your point A to point B could be, you know, two or three tracks away, just real easy, just loop it right around or something. But you have to lay the level required amount of tracks to actually complete the level. A lot of people hate on this game for two reasons. Reason number one is there is no penalty for overlaying a track on a track that's already there. Normally in Pipe Dreams or something like that, when you do that, it will blow up and it will take several seconds and you'll lose points, and it makes the game more challenging. This, you can just rapid fire over and over and over to get to the piece that you need. Second reason why this game is usually frowned upon is the difficulty. It is pretty darn easy, especially starting out. Usually the first four levels, any brain dead monkey can complete. And then it gets harder and more difficult as it puts new aspects onto the board. If it's rocks, trees, tunnels, things that you can go through and get extra points, that sort of thing. So you have to get at least 10 levels in, and really even then it's pretty easy at that point. But you have to get that far in before the game starts getting complicated. The absolute cool part of the game, though, is it's not a brain burner. It's not a Pipe Dreams, oh my God, I'm going to die. Every move is a stressful move. I'm putting pipes all over the place just to get them in my way. I don't care if I lose points for them at the end. This is a very down-to-earth, slow-paced, get your train out there, try to make this complicated track system, because it encourages you to experiment in ways that would allow you to make loops, to get extra points, and really push for you being more complicated rather than the game force you to be complicated. And there's a positive and a negative to that, in my opinion. Another thing that it does is it does allow you to, every five stages, you get a bonus stage. And in the bonus stage, you, instead of guiding a train to the end, you guide the conductor to the train. So I thought that was pretty awesome. It gives you power-ups. You can get power-ups on doubling your scores of your track lays on the next level or any level you choose. You can stop time. You can slow down the train. You can give yourself more time at the beginning of a level. And you can get extra men. All that super awesome. And the way they do it is also pretty awesome, because you don't just get it. You have to go through different stations with your little conductor to pick up these bonuses. I thought that was a really nice touch. All the while when you're playing the game, there's, I think, four different music tracks that are absolutely stunning, especially considering what this is. And you can just completely lose yourself in the moment. I absolutely love this game. This might be my new favorite Pipe Mania type game if I'm not looking for a challenge, if I'm just looking to make these crazy extravagant levels, and it has a password system. So every 10 levels, you get a password. So if you want to just come back and play the harder levels, you can. I mean, it's a almost perfect package from beginning to end.
Well, it's a clone. So right there, there's that.
It is a clone, but it does its own thing, too.
Every system we've ever covered had a version of this. Everything. So, now, is this a playable version? Yes. In fact, some would say a flawed version due to the way you pick the track. I mean, it's the representation on the screen is nice. The train, I like the music. Everything's set up nicely. But, I mean, I wouldn't call this any great shakes, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just sort of a generic ripoff of Pipe Mania. I mean, isn't it? I mean,
no, it is. It is. I completely agree. But as a Pipe Mania game, I prefer this sometimes, depending on what I want. If I want to be challenged or if I want to be just have fun with it, I prefer this over Pipe Mania.
Well, I will say. I'm not very good at Pipe Mania / Pipe Dreams.
I know. I saw your demo play.
Yeah. But I did sit and play this enough to where I did okay. This is sort of like...
Did you get to stage 10?
No, God, no. No, of course not. But I did better than I did on the Amiga version of this.
You didn't get to see the bonus stages? You didn't get to see any of the power-ups?
I saw them, but I didn't get to them. I saw them. But I mean, you've got everything you would expect. It does have great tunes. There's no doubt about that. It didn't do a whole lot for me, to be honest. It's okay. It's okay. I just found it to be sort of generic, you know.
I thought it was incredibly fun for what it was. And what it is a Pipe Mania clone that is enjoyable. With a train theme. I really like the train theme. I think that added enough to be fun.
Fair enough. We did get some reviews on this thing, Brent. Let's have a look, shall we? We got a lot of reviews this week for these games. I don't know what it was. Something struck a chord with these games here. So let's start off with our good buddy Frodo NL, who writes, he actually has his review split up here. Railway, he says, I have a completely unexpected issue with this game, but let's look at the positives first. Well-executed variation of Pipe Mania, contains a train, cute graphics, title screen, and cute animation and music, in-game music, more than one song, well-thought-out bonuses and bonus levels, 3 levels of play, a password system to allow starting on different stages, which leaves us to the one issue. Given the constraints of the system it's running on, I cannot find any flaws in the game, meaning I have to give it a score I would normally never give, 10 out of 10. A 10, Brent. Can you believe that?
I think that's a little bold, but I appreciate that if he can't find a flaw with a game, he gives the game a 10. I think that's very fair.
Z9K9 really had a lot to say about this one. He writes, I was amused to see this game pick is a variant of Pipe Mania, for which I have a rekindled appreciation after the recent well-fought competition on the Amigos Discord. This version seems decent in most respects, except for one. You can replace an already laid tile with another one instantly instead of having to wait a couple seconds of cooldown time for your indecision, and so you can get any piece you want in a hurry by trivially hammering the button until it comes along. That's great for me. This mostly robs the game of its usual challenge and intrigue. The balancing in between the thickly entwined tasks of building a solid path immediately in front of the train, but also planning ahead with dynamic adaptation for the random piece order and random layouts. What remains is the static logic puzzle of routing from start point to finish point with a long enough track on a predefined level layout. But one must progress at least 50 levels into the game before these constraints start to get thought-provokingly cramped. And at this point, where the task is to recognize one true solution like Sudoku or Picross, these are puzzles that would be better worked out in constructive contemplation rather than panicked and denied by an arbitrary time limit. At least there are passwords so you can cut out the chase, and it's possible one might eventually adjust to the hurried logic puzzle groove. I have played a lot of Picross in the past and seen this happen, but it's hard to see this, not to see this as a broken implementation, despite otherwise solid production. I have to top out at a 5 out of 10. It's a long way to go there, Brent.
I think that is a fair assessment. But I think also sometimes you have to make your own fun. And I think this game allows you to do that.
I agree with you on that. So, by the way, did you have to look this up on eBay perchance?
I did.
Okay, what'd you get?
You can get Railway plus your game plus Bomb Disposer plus Arctic Zone, new inbox, old stock, $29.
There you go. Wow, not bad.
Yeah.
All those games, huh?
Yeah, I would do it. If I had a Cougar Boy / Mega Duck, I would definitely do it.
Are those individual cartridges?
Yes. All individual carts. All new old stock.
Very not too bad. So but overall you give this a high mark then, yeah.
Oh yeah. I really enjoyed this game. I definitely think just for the music alone, this is worth finding an emulator and firing this up. The Fair music enough. For this is so catchy and so just happy. I loved it. I wish that it I could find the tracks ripped for this just so I could add the music to my own little things. I really enjoyed it that much.
I did see some tracks for this on YouTube. If you look around, you might be able to find them.
Oh, excellent. All right, I'm going to do that.
Grab. All right, fair enough. Well, I was tasked with finding a game. I'll have to say I looked through quite a few games, Brent, to come up with something. But I think I even went past this game twice before I got it. And then I got it. And so I played it. And the game I picked this week is, well, it depends on who you are or what you read. But we're going to go with Magical Tower, Brent. Magical Tower.
Yes.
An interesting name for an interesting game. Now, right off the gate, let's talk about the slight issue with the name. The name in the game is Magical Tower. The game on the box is Magic Tower.
Well, you know, it's all the same.
Well, it is. You're right. It's exactly the same, but it has two names. I don't know why. And no one could. I never read anyone. Why? You know, this happens occasionally. Who knows? We're going to call it Magical Tower. This was, of course, all these cartridges were on both systems. And apparently this, I found boxes of this that were actually labeled for both systems. So there you go. This was developed by, they haven't developed by Common, but it was almost all the games were developed by Sash. And again, this is exactly like I think it was the Wahara we covered, where it was like one company that produced like all the games. And this one is different. So, this came out in 1993, Brent. So, what do you do in this wacky, wacky game? And it is sort of wacky.
It's kind of wacky.
Okay. You ever heard of the old rock, paper, scissors routine?
Never heard of it.
You never heard of that? Well, this
yes,
takes
I rock, have, Aaron. Yes, I know about rock, paper, scissors.
You know, I've played wrestling games that use the rock, paper, scissors form of gameplay, but never was it taken to this degree where you're a hand in a realm of other hands, okay?
Yep.
So picture a walking hand for our listeners and walking around your other hands. And their hands, they're in certain positions. They're either in the scissor position with your little fingers up, they're in a rock position like a fist, or they're in a paper position. And they walk around. And all you've got to do is you've got to defeat all these other hands. Simple. So what do you do? Well, depending on what you are, will depend on who you go after in the game. If you are in scissor mode, you will go after the paper. If you're in rock mode, you'll go after the scissors. And if you're in paper mode, you'll go after the rock. And when you're in the right mode, you will basically, they'll just go away once you
get
to
them. You'll defeat your enemy and you'll change hand positions.
Correct. It's a stupid concept in a way. But put all this into the realm of a scrolling platform game, and what you've got here is an intriguing game. I mean, the platforming is nothing to write home about, but the actual gameplay, I don't think I've ever played anything quite like this, Brent, to be honest with you. You have the ability to occasionally come across a power-up that will change your orientation of your hand. And, of course, you always change your orientation when you take out somebody. Yep. Right? So, basically, that's the game. You'll run around with the power-ups, and you'll run around. Now, you can jump in this, but you can't jump diagonally. You can only jump straight up.
Yeah.
Which is odd. And the pace of the game is odd. It's not what I would call a speedy game. It doesn't run at a frantic rate, but there are a lot of enemies you have to cope with. And you it's fun. When do you complete a level? You complete a level whenever you finish off all your opponents that are in that area. The levels get as you go through this, I don't know how far you got into this. But I got to level 6, and the levels just are they changed? It really the levels are all almost they don't make that much of a difference. Sometimes you can get caught in a corner or something like that, but for the most part, it's the amount of enemies and how quickly you can get to them before with your hand orientation being what it is. It's got good music. Title screen's nice. I thought the music was. I mean, it's not as good as your game. All right, okay. I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. But I thought it was okay. And this is one of the of all the games I played, and I went through probably about 7 or 8. I thought this was the most unique one. I don't think I've ever seen a game quite like this one, Brent. What were your initial thoughts on this one?
I haven't played a game like this. Although I think this is a remake. I could be wrong, and I couldn't find the game that I was thinking about. And it might be that I was thinking about this, because I've heard of a game doing this before, but it might have been this game doing it. So I don't want to say for sure. This is a points game. You play for high score. Progress is only made to get to more things to kill to get more points. There are lots of little pickups that give you points, fruits, and money bags and crowns. And the only real game-altering power-ups that I can recall were the shoe, which made you faster.
Those are magic speed boots. That's what they are, yeah.
The symbol, which will change what hand position you're at.
Right.
And the hourglass, which freezes all your enemies for a little bit. Excuse me. I think the game is cute. I did play this for, I don't know, about a half an hour. I can't recall exactly what stage because they all blend together. That's something that's very unfortunate about the game. There isn't really a thing that sets one stage apart from the next stage. It's all just, you know, 5 layers of platforms and various amounts of enemies. Not that that's bad for a high score game, because it does get to the point where the enemies are very numerous, and which makes it more difficult.
Yeah,
but
there's also a time limit.
A time limit. I don't think my time limit ever came into play for me.
It does. I don't know how far you got into this, but I mean, after a while, it becomes more frantic. I will say that this thing also has a password system. But the password system on this, you have to get like, I think it was 4 or 5 levels in before you get a password.
Well, and so also, why would you ever level. Password this game?
Why not? So you can skip levels. That's why.
Well, the levels are different. Game. It's a high score game.
Right, but it's still it gets harder. Maybe you want to, because I mean, the early levels are pretty simple, you know, once you figure them out.
I agree. But I think you play this for score. And for score, I prefer to start at the beginning of a game. This isn't, but don't think I'm killing the game. I think it's a fine game. I just don't think that I'm good. There's nothing about this game that makes me want to play more of it unless someone was going to sit down and say, hey, I bet I can get a higher score than you. And then I'm like grind out a good high score and do that sort of thing, because there's not a lot to pull me in or bring me back.
You know, I would disagree with you on this one. I found this game strangely satisfying. It really, there's something about the gameplay that is real fun. I mean, it really is it's fun. It's a fun challenge to be able to flip to another hand and go after somebody that was just after you 2 seconds ago. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I do also enjoy the pace and something that's weird. You know, again, I mentioned that you can jump in this, but you can only jump up and down, you know, vertically. Yeah. There's no diagonal jumping. That in itself is you would think to yourself, that sucks. It's actually a unique gameplay element because it's just something you don't see that often. You don't see a lot of games where you just jump straight up and down.
Well, it's part of the design to make the game more difficult. So, yeah, I agree.
You know, and of course, you could also run into the positioned hand. And so you've got that, and it'll swap you. There are elements of strategy to it, you know. And one thing I've noticed is I always wondered if you could get to a point where you couldn't win. You know, like where you're a fist and there's another fist in there and he's the last guy. But every level I saw, and inevitably and beautifully, almost like a beautiful design, there would be some way to transfer you over to get that last hand. There was never a point where I couldn't finish the level.
I never ran into a point where I couldn't finish either.
But I mean, you got to admit that's something that could cross your mind. Like, what's going to happen here? Well, sometimes the a change hand icon will come up at the right time or whatever. But there was something in me that enjoyed completing these levels and running through them. This is a very, you know, I think the joy that I got from this game is sort of the same kind of joy that a lot of people would get from the train game you covered. And that is, it's just sort of you kind of settle in and you play for a while and there's kind of a relaxed pace. It's not, you're not super under the gun trying to get through it. That's an element of it that I enjoy. This is certainly a kind of game that I could sit down and play on. It's a lot like playing like spades or something in a way, that kind of feeling you get. You're just kind of like, just kind of cruising through and having a good time. It's not real hectic. Now there are the collision detection in this is tough. I mean, it's fair, but I mean, if the enemies touch you, and you're in the wrong position, you're gone. I mean, even a little. And one thing about it is your guy jumps really slow. I mean, he's a hand. He's not going to be moving fast. And so it is not that difficult for enemies to jump under you or fall on you or touch your little foot or whatever. I mean, and you're gone. And so you can be doing pretty well and instantly get whacked. I mean, it's that. So they didn't make that aspect of it favor the player. Now, of course, that's on your side when you're chasing someone, but I thought that was pretty good, too. But overall, between all that plus the password system, whole nine yards, I dug it, man. I thought it was pretty darn good. We did get a review or two on this one. Let's have a quick look here. Frodo NL writes, "What looks like a very basic platform game turns out to be a bit of a tactical challenge. While the basics are easy enough, you play one of the three you play in one of three states, and you can only kill one of the other state. In later levels, one will have to be careful in which order to attack the various opponents." That's true. Once there is only one opponent left, you better have the winning state, since otherwise you have to depend on pure luck. See, again, I never had any problem with that. Will that state-changing bonus show up before the time runs out and the ghost appears? Simple but effective graphics and quite decent music complete this package. I would not mind seeing a remake of this for something more modern. 8 out of 10. We've got one here from Z9K9 who writes, "This smartly transforms the famous telepathic mind control game Rock, Paper, Scissors into a game for non-scanners by keeping the..." Boy, he's trying to kill me here. "The trichotomous relation of household objects and removing the guesswork. Playing it induces a pleasant low-level fuzz of concentration that won't make the brain explode. Presentation is also pleasant and the tunes are sometimes catchy. The level design brings out a few interesting situations for the mechanics, though the concept itself doesn't develop at all over the course of the game. It's fun to imagine where a new version of this game could go. The enemies could hunt you or run away instead of following your preset path. Multiplayer could be a hoot. Plus one for originality, 8 out of 10. So he liked that one too. I got to go back to this word here. Trichotonomous, Brent, I believe is the pronunciation of that one. You want to tackle that one?
I think it was tricky fish.
What state are we in? What state is this? Trichotonomous? Is that a dinosaur? What's going on here, man? What are we doing here? I looked up some reviews on this. I found two places that reviewed this game, Brent, believe it or not. Obsolete Worlds, which we're living in, by the way, 8 out of 10. And Get Off Me 88 on archive.org. Give this 4 out of 5 stars. You know he's solid. I did look this up myself for eBay pricing. You can buy this cartridge from Brazil for $9 US, right? I also looked up the actual devices themselves, Brent. You can get a non-working Mega Duck I saw go for $30 US, and a working Mega Duck sold, my friend, for $142.
Wow!
US if you
That's
want a
insane.
Black, if you want a black Cougar Boy, better crank up the wad, my friend. $202. $202, man, for one of these bad boys. So no. Yeah, they ain't cheap, man.
If the components were good, if the games played as well on the console as they play on the emulator, yeah, I could actually at least understand that pricing.
Yeah.
But seeing, you know, these played on video, and I know that the LCDs are hard to capture, but the speaker sound isn't hard to capture, and the speaker on these things are absolute trash.
Yeah, they cheaped out. Hey, I do want to mention something that was mentioned. I think you mentioned it, I think Proto 2. I think this did get some sort of console release, this game. I don't know what name it was under. I think it was a Game Boy game. So that may be something to look into if that's your bag. I couldn't find the exact name. I don't think it was called Magical Tower. So, but I think this exists somewhere. So that might be something we come back to. And if I find that, I'll reveal that in the next episode. Hey, you know what we're going to reveal in this episode, Brent?
What we're doing next episode?
It's time for the wheel, my friend. Let's fire this sucker up.
I'm ready for the wheel this week. I don't fear it. This was such an easy week that I think the wheel has shown us mercy.
Well, we'll see. So, this week, what we've added is, this is, by the way, this represents the last piece of pie that we had before the new sheet. Brent delivered to my house a new sheet of pie pieces over here. And so starting next week, we'll be introducing brand new pie pieces that are just hot off the presses. But I've been holding this one back, Brent. The Tatsun Einstein. The Tatsun Einstein. You want to try to pronounce that? Look at that.
Nope.
Okay, fair enough. We've also got, as our flashback piece, the early 1990s arcade. We haven't been to the arcade for a while, Brent, so I stuck that piece on there. You ready to spin this sucker?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Oh, Brent. Oh, my. Oh, my word. I've been waiting for this piece to come up for a long time, Brent. Pay Winda. It's the Commodore CD TV. CD TV, Brent. What do you know about the CD TV?
Why do I feel like this is going to be a nightmare?
No. No, we're set. It's a done deal. This thing, you know it's gold because it's an Amiga, man. It's an Amiga smashed into an attractive console box. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to this one, Brent.
I feel like this is going to be an FM Towns all over again.
No. Well, listen, the FM Towns is pretty good. I mean, I don't want to overbill the CDTV. It's easier to emulate than. Yeah, we're going to be looking at Groyler's Encyclopedia next week. It's a good suggestion. Brent, you want to talk to the people about your lanyards. Let's get that news out there.
The lanyards are sold. It's a done deal. We are sold out of lanyards.
That's great.
The lucky few that were able to get in. In on the deal, most of them have already emailed me their address. So as soon as those get in, they will be going out to the people. So, and we will be moving on to our next item, which I already know what our next item is going to be, Aaron. I just got to find a place to have them done.
So this is like a home shopping network. You're gonna start modeling this stuff when it comes out.
But yeah, I did model the lanyard.
I was pleased with the. The response to the lanyards was pretty solid. No one could see that with your wacky background. Good try, though. So for all you guys that hopped in and got some hot lanyard action, I appreciate that. And so does the Brent. Very
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely.
Brent, do you want? Let's talk a little bit, because we've kind of glazed over this. Let's talk a little bit about the Thanks for Giving Marathon. It's, you know, we're just a little over a month away, a half or so. Why don't you talk to the people? What are we doing here?
Anyone who wants to have a piece that will guarantee be spun on the wheel and played for the Thanks for Giving Marathon, your time is nigh. It has to be this week, folks, because we have to get the pieces made and we have to get the emulator situation worked out and have the games chosen and all that stuff. And I know it sounds like we've got plenty of time, but we don't. Time
keeps
like on ticking.
Yeah,
so,
it goes fast, doesn't it?
Everyone who wants to get a piece out for that, please do it as soon as possible. If you are a part of the Discord, you can private message me on there. If you are an Anchor subscriber, you can send me an email. All that good stuff. Just get us the info.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, and let's talk about the event itself. This will be the day after Thanksgiving, which I don't know if the exact date of that is. Let's look, shall we, just while we're here. So we're looking at, this would be the 27th of November, 2020. Yeah. It'll be the Thanks for Giving Marathon where myself and the Brent and possibly the boat. He might, depending on the COVID situation, but it might just be me and the Brent flying this week, this time around. We'll gather together for a unspecified marathon. We don't know how long this thing's going to go. I can't remember how long we went last year. Do you hear off the top of your head?
8 hours. That's
eight
how long
hours
we're going.
Hot gaming action, wheel action, live here at Amigo Studios. We will be cranking it up. This is just to say thank you for all your dedication and your lovely contributions to our charity event, the Amigathon. This year, everyone excelled themselves, and it was very cool. We really appreciate that. So this is just to say thanks. This is just a fun time to play games that you guys want to see and have a good time doing it. So
yes,
that will be coming up in November. However, next week, Brent, the CDTV, it should be a corker, as they say back in the 50s. It should be a corker, Brent. So we will leave you with that. Have a good week, everyone. Have a safe week. And we will touch you guys on the flip side. Until then, please spay or neuter your mega duck. Adios.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the show. Quick shout out to all of our YouTube subscribers and Twitch followers. A special thank you to Duncan Styles for our vector graphics and BartBit for our amazing music. Would you like to keep ARG spinning for as little as a dollar a month? You can do so at anchor.fm/ARG-presents. Supporters get entry into the Amigos Discord channel, as well as their name called out in the credits. Supporters like these fine folks: Anthony Jarvis, Graham W. Vetke, Terry Howard, Gary Heather, John Schaller, The Slow Norris, Bernhard Lucas, Frodo NL, Steve Rasmussen, Chris Pools, Mitsuyama, Retroalgae, Hermsky, John Deckman, and Jerry Dennington. Don't want to explain another credit card bill? That's okay too. You can help us out by leaving us a positive review on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Have an idea for a wheel piece? Send it to us at argpresents@mail.com. We record live every Sunday at 9 a.m. EDT on Twitch. Hope to see you there.